You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Jesus, we behold your beautiful face. We behold you, Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God is here. Behold, he is in our midst. Behold, 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 behold. Behold you, Jesus. Behold you, Jesus. You beautiful Jesus, beautiful Jesus, beautiful Jesus. Behold your beauty, Jesus. One thing, only one thing. I behold you, King Jesus. Behold you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, the slain one, the one who is holy and righteous, the one who was birthed in humility, the one who chose to condescend and take the form of a man, to come, to come, to come. God with us, Emmanuel. You're here in our midst. The resurrected one. You're here in our midst. Our holy one. You're here. You're here. We behold your beauty. We behold your eyes. Again, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, come again, come again, come again. We're your bride, we say, come again, come. We wait on you, we wait in your presence. Our Savior, our Lord, our Majestic One, O Resurrected One. From the stable in a manger, garden, to the cross, to the tomb, the grave, resurrected one, ascended one. You are alive. You are alive, King Jesus. You are alive. You are alive. You are alive. Yes, God, you are alive. You're not a baby in a manger anymore. You are alive. We've been crucified together with you and buried with you and raised with you. We're in union with you. We're one with you. You're our King, resurrected Jesus. You're seated at the right hand of Papa. We're with you in heavenly places. That's where we are with you, God. Cry out to you, Lord. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are in your presence, God. Here we are. Jesus, cry out to him. You are the glorious one. You are the glorious one. You are glorious and victorious. Can we sing that out, worship team? Just sing to him. Let's sing to him that you are the glorious one, the victorious one, and we honor you. We honor your face, your eyes. We honor your life. We honor you. We're one with you. This is who you are. You're seated on the throne. You're alive, Jesus. Oh, it's who you are. It's who you are.
Glory is one. His name. He's the only risen King. He's the only risen King. He's not just a baby in a manger. He's the King. He's the King. He's the mighty King. Oh, He's the King. He's the hope of the ages. He's the hope of the nations. Oh, He's the hope for all eternity. He's not just a baby in a manger. That's beautiful and that's wonderful. But let me tell you, if you have nothing to sing about this morning, then sing about the risen King. Sing about the one who defeated death. Sing about the one who's seated on high. That nothing can stop Him. Nothing can stand in His way. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And nothing stands in His way. Nothing stops Him. So if you have something in your life that you think is unstoppable, let me tell you, He's the King. He's the King. He's the King. Jesus, You are King. Jesus, You are King. Oh, You're seated on high. You're seated on high. You're forever on Your throne. Nothing shakes You. Nothing moves You. Nothing upsets You. Nothing worries You. Nothing frightens You. Because You're the King. You're the King.
You're the only one.
Melt the hardest heart. Your love is like a flaming torch, just melting the ice away. Your love is so beautiful. No one loves like you. No one can touch our hearts like you. No one, no one, there's none like you. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Forever and ever. Amen. So be it. We give you glory and honor this morning, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the only begotten Son of our Papa. And to you who holds the keys for all things of death and Hades, who overcame and hands that to us, Father, to be able to become overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that we would not love our own life unto death. We thank you, Lord, that we are positioned before you today in holiness as you release grace in our life, empowerment to be able to walk all that you've purchased for us. We believe it, Lord, today. We remove any unbelief today. We let go of any doubt. We let go of any fear. We see it leave us. We let go of all condemnation. We let go of all hopelessness and despair and despondency and rejection. We let go. We say no more. No more. No more unbelief. Let go. Let the King of Glory in. Let the King of Glory open up the gates, that the King of Glory may come in right now. Holy Spirit, overwhelm us right now. Rapture our hearts and ravish our hearts and take us to that place where there is no pain and sorrow, that place of comfort. You are the breasted one, O Papa. You are the sustaining one. You are the sustainer of life. You are the giver of hope. We rest in you. We trust you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bend our knee right now, and we voluntarily, by your Spirit, repent. We say, Lord, we choose to turn our back completely on ourselves and the ones who have run our life, which is us giving over to that. We say no more. We refuse independence anymore. We refuse it, Lord. We say yes to your connection. We say yes to union with you. We say yes to oneness with you. We say no to anything that compromises that oneness. In the mighty name of Jesus, by the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power to believe that comes from you. Thank you for that empowerment, that grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for this morning's worship, God. Thank you. We bless your holy, righteous, and magnificent name. The name above all names, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you, Jesus Christ, are Lord of all. We declare today that you are Lord of heaven and earth. You are Lord of all. You are majestic King. You are Lord of our lives. You are Lord of everything. We hold nothing away from you. We hold nothing. We abandon ourselves to say yes to you in all areas. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. We behold you today. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. 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 Can we just give a big shout and praise to the Lord? Yes, Jesus! Yes. We love you, Jesus. Just shout it to Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's the true ho, ho, ho. Ho for you, Jesus. Ho, rabba, shika, rabba. Amen. Oh, thank you. Bless your name, Lord. You know, when people say, or you hear it said, or it's written somewhere, it's a Christmas card on Facebook, Jesus is the reason for the season. Don't make yourselves too busy. Stop and pause. You know, all the familiar phrases. Isn't that all great? And today, we worship you, King Jesus, on your timetable. I love it. Thank you, team. Thank you, worship team. So beautiful. Wow. Well, Andy has something for us. I don't know where you are, Andy. I think he's here. He's pointing. He's moving. I'll just flow with the pointing. I don't know what's going on. Photos and videos from... Okay. So gift of Christmas and then our time... downtown yesterday at Skyline Terrace. So last week was Gift of Christmas, and we shared a little bit about that last week, but we didn't have time to get some pictures and videos and things together. So we have something. Something to say. Amen. Praise the Lord. That was awesome. Praise God. What a great day yesterday. If you were not shown up there, there are groups that didn't make the survey here. So whoever took pictures, if you can send them all to Andy from Gift of Christmas and yesterday, you have some very strong pictures that you want to add to that. This is not the final. This is just what Andy was able to do this morning. So some of you have some really cool shots. So if you could do that, then we'll have something that'll be more complete. But we had some amazing things that happened, amazing testimonies from Gift of Christmas. And we have friends who came again today, who were here last week, or maybe for the first time. If you're here from Gift of Christmas or from downtown yesterday, can you just give us a wave and let us know? Some of you? All right. That's awesome. Welcome. Really glad to have you guys here. It was really wonderful. So I know we've had some healings. If there's anything anybody specifically wants to share, that'd be great. I don't know about any of the healings yesterday. We had salvations in our group, but I don't know about any of the other groups. We kind of disbanded when we all came together because it was cold. And then last night, we also had a Christmas party here, and that was wonderful. So we packed a lot in this week, so praise the Lord for that. So thank you all for being part of that. Did you have a testimony? Did you want to say something?
This morning, the gentleman couldn't find, he went to the wrong Refuge of Hope building. This morning, the gentleman that was driving the van for trying to find Refuge of Hope, he went to the wrong one. I ran down the street. As soon as I started crossing the street, I fell and hit my bad knee again. But now that I came here, it healed up now. And I thank God I caught him and got him to the right building.
Amen. Well, thank you, Jesus. More for you. Amen. Wow. So you're not feeling any pain? Not now. Come on. We just give praise to the Lord. The Lord takes care of his own, that's for sure. God bless you. That's great. Amen. Oh, I love it. Isn't testimony time wonderful? It's like, God shows up. Anybody else? Anybody have something from yesterday or last week? If you were here for Gift of Christmas, you saw the healings up here. We had various healings. So And I think we shared a little bit about that last week. So praise God. Maybe we can identify those, Andy, in the video when it becomes complete. Some of the healings and different testimonies as well. Anything from yesterday you wanted to add? We just love going down to Skyline Terrace, love going out to Refuge of Hope and other places, meeting new people, getting new friends, and seeing what the Lord will do. When we go out to the people, Lord loves that, doesn't he? He says, just go to the highways and the byways and bring in my lost bride. And that's what he says to do. That's what we do. It's not hard. It's just what we do. So praise the Lord for that. Do we have any other comments or announcements? Usually there are people lined up here and they want to grab the mic and say something. Any announcements? What do we have coming up this week? Christmas. Is anything about the children's program is on Sunday, right? Or Sin, did you want to?
Okay. Next Sunday is our Christmas service. Thank you. Sorry. Lost for words. So we will regular worship time, 10:30, but the children do have a presentation for us, so that will be happening. So it's going to be good. So we encourage you, obviously, to come, invite family. It's going to be really good and a really blessing. The kids are going to be sharing lots of good stuff. So that is next Sunday, the 22nd. And then on the 24th, which is Tuesday, there is a Christmas Eve candlelight service here. So you can make plans for that as you are able to. Obviously, welcome family and friends to that. The Christmas Eve service is at 6:30, maybe? I'm sorry, I don't remember. Anybody? Huh? 6. Thank you. 6 to 7:30 on Christmas Eve. So those are the two things that I am aware of happening. And then obviously there's Christmas on the 25th. If you were here last night and you didn't get a chance to take a bag, there's some bags, favorite bags in the back table. If you weren't here last night and you'd like to take one, you're welcome to. It's one per family, just a little goodie bag to bless you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, and the week after Christmas, we do have a New Year's Eve celebration on the 31st. So there'll be a little bit more details coming with that, so you can also plan for that.
Thank you. Is that the last announcement? Okay. I just got a word that a worship leader from Bethel in Reading, her name is Callie, and their two-year-old daughter died yesterday, just suddenly stopped breathing is what I just heard. And so they're asking for prayer. They're not saying, they're not believing that this is the final release for the child. So they're asking people around the country, I guess, to pray. So we just want to lift this up. Lord, we just thank you that you have the final word. And Father, we just believe with other people, Father, for this child to be resurrected, Lord. You do this all over the world, Lord. We don't know when, we don't know who, but we do know why, because you are the resurrection and the life. So we join our hearts with this family. And Father, we just call life into this little girl. If that is your portion for her, Lord, we know that you are sovereign God, but we pray in Jesus' name for full completion of her prophetic destiny. We call out life to this little child. In your mighty name. Thank you, Lord God. Father, you gave me the words, I am the resurrection and the life, and told me to put my hands on a baby that had passed away in the womb for a couple months, and the baby was come back to life. The baby was made alive. So, Father, I thank you for that, and I thank you that Pastor Dewa was made alive over the telephone with words of life when he was dead, and he heard the voice, and he came back to life. So, Father, we know within our own house here there's been resurrection and life. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name that we add our voice and we join with the other believers around this country for this little child to fulfill her destiny. Let it be in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, the Lord calls us to stand for life. unless he has specifically told us otherwise. And in his word, he tells us to stand for life. And people have been brought back. When I prayed for this little child in the womb that just hadn't made it out of the womb yet, the Lord changed everything. He changed schedules, he changed direction, and he just sent people who were willing to go. Had no idea that that would be the case. So when he spoke the words, I am the resurrection and the life, that was before even getting there, before there was any knowledge of a dead baby. So when you agree with heaven and he speaks, when heaven speaks, when the Lord speaks and you agree, it's a done deal. And then you just step out and you become the instrument of his resurrection power. You become the instrument of life. And that's what we do. We just make ourselves available, and we see that. And that happened to Pastor Dewa, who heads up our children's home in Rajahmundry, India. The same thing. So, you know, there are other situations and cases all around the world, but when it's right home, right up close and personal, it helps us believe. Sometimes it might feel confusing because you pray for someone and they pass into eternity. And if the Lord is leading you to pray to the best of your understanding and ability, you do that. We don't do it because it's just a thing to do, but we step in and we pray. And when Pastor Dewa gave that testimony in India when we were there in the spring, he was in tears sharing that. And he took about 45 minutes to share what I just shared with you, with every possible detail and what it was like when he went up into the heavenly realm and then came back down into his body and was raised. He was gone. So that's pretty powerful. So we have a baby and we have that, and it's true. So why not little Olive? In Jesus' name. So sometimes that's not the situation in the case, and the Lord also gives us a sense or an understanding. And we're just little kids, and we're just trying to ask God, what do we do? How do we stand? How do we pray? So we pray for life, and we leave results in your hands, Lord, and see what you will do, unless he would tell us completely something different. Sometimes he does that, or gives us an idea so that we can look back on that and say, so that's where you were going with this. Why? We don't know. We don't want to speculate the why, but we do know that he's in charge of life and death for his children. Amen? Amen. So God bless you. Let's see what he does. And I don't know what's going to happen there. So, amen. So it's time for children to go to Kingdom Land, and we have a message today. Amen. Can we put up, let's put up Galatians 2:20 and then the Romans 6:5 and 6. We'll just start out with that if we could. Just go right to it. Yeah. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at the Amplified. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for this time. Oh, you know what I want to do before we do that? Come on. I should have done this when everybody was still in here, but I didn't. Let's show that little video clip. We'll have to get it to them later. This is fun. This is good. I just saw it last night. Jamie sent it to me. It's a couple of minutes. And you'll like this, and we all love John Bevere. Okay, everybody in ready for John Bevere?
There was a study by the Center for Bible Engagement where they pulled 40,000 general population in the U.S. from 8 to 80, and they just wanted to see how we are engaging with Scripture.
Right.
And they discovered something that actually became kind of the profound discovery of the entire study. They weren't even looking for this, and this is kind of became the highlight of the study.
Right.
When we're in the Scripture one time a week, and that could be church on Sunday, that's pastor saying you open your Bible, we hear the message, one time a week had negligible effect on some key areas of your life. So I'm going to spell that out more here in a moment. Two times a week, negligible effect. Now at three times a week, there was a blip on the map, like there was a heartbeat. Something happened, again, a heartbeat.
Okay.
But here was a profound discovery. When we're in the Scripture four times a week, it literally spikes off the chart. You would expect that it'd be one, two, there'd be a gradual incline on the effect and impact that would have in your life, But it was literally 1, 2, 3, 4, something radically happens.
Okay, you got my curiosity.
To this extent.
What kind of behavior is being affected?
Feeling lonely drops 30%.
Wow. Four times a week in the
Bible. Four times a week in the Bible.
Okay.
Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationships, marriage, a relationship with your kids, and so on, drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant. You know, if there was one area when I'm talking with people that they'll be honest about, is they just feel spiritually stagnant. Ask them the question, how much time are you spending in Scripture? If they're in the Scripture four times a week or more, it drops 60%.
Wow.
Viewing pornography drops 61%.
That's very important.
Now, on a flip positive side, sharing your faith jumps 200%.
Wow.
Because you have a confidence in God's Word. And then discipling others jumps 230%.
That's amazing right there.
Amazing right there. Okay. Well, I don't know about studies and statistics. I know Jesus. And I'll just say, it's interesting. People could actually read the Bible for quite some time and still decide they're not interested. However, it's an interesting thought that the more time that we spend in the Word, the better off we're going to be. And then there comes a point where our hearts begin to engage, obviously, is what I think they're saying. So we're not holding anybody to a strict standard or a statistical study and survey. I just don't think Jesus is like that. But it's very interesting to see that there is a progression which would encourage us to spend more time in the Word, just to see that when the Word is alive and active and we partner with someone who's alive, that can bring new life to us. Now, if you've got strongholds in your heart and you keep reading the same thing that says you're fine, 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 and you defy the study then, I guess. So the Lord wants us to go with an open heart to be able to say, okay, Lord, here's the Word of God. Teach me, show me. And it's kind of funny. When I watched this last night, I was thinking back to when I got born again, when I was saved, and how I didn't know the Bible. And I really did have this insatiable desire to be in the Word and read the Word. And I was in the Word a lot. And I still am, as you guys are. But I remember just growing in intensity and in boldness, just growing and growing and growing. But I approached the Word with this caveat of, I don't know what I'm doing, teach me, show me. And I really want the truth. And so that's kind of a dangerous prayer. I really didn't know what that would do to me, but it did turn me upside down and change me a lot. So I would say, when you have a study, little video like that, rather than write down numbers or think, wow, I want to be in that 200% or anything like that, that we just approach the Word of the Lord with, in a good way, fear and trepidation, meaning this Holy Bible, this is God's love letter. This is not something to dust off on a coffee table, okay? This is something very, very, very poignant that God wants to offer to us to take us deeper into His presence. So that would be my hope for that. But I thought it was interesting that the more you're in, there obviously was a noted change for those who were at the end of the study, I guess, in 4 days or more, that all of a sudden there was this desire to go out and witness and go out and do what the Bible says. Love the Lord and then love others. Kind of makes it simple. So this discovery that we're in, which is our entire life, really increases in the season, it seems, at Christmas time and Resurrection, Easter season as well. But here we are in this season where it's just a place and time in the Spirit that the Lord reminds us that the grace that has already been released for us is ever present. Remember, grace is the empowerment that the Lord releases to us to be able to walk out the holiness that He's called us to walk. So many times if we hear that word holy, or we think of holiness, we just feel beat up, we feel condemned, we feel like I tried this, I can't, I tried to do this, I tried to live a good life, I've tried, and I just keep messing up, or, you know, whatever. We look at the position that God gives us as being holy and set apart. That happens when we say yes to Him initially at salvation. We look at that many times in terms of trying to do it ourselves. And many of us have gone through John Bevere's study of killing kryptonite, and somewhere in there it talks about another study. So John must like these studies and numbers, which is fine. But basically there were about 2% of people who were polled, and I don't know who the where the poll was, but 2% of Americans, I'm not sure what constituted all of that, that really seemed to have a grasp on the fact that the Lord provides the empowerment to be able to walk out the behavior that we all like to say we would like to have in our life, which would be our behavioral holiness, is the way he puts it. The Bible just refers to that as walking out and becoming more Christ-like. But the Lord provides the ability. He provides the power. I mean, that is just the coolest. He doesn't say, look what I've done for you, now go and make it happen. You know, it's not like that. He uses our cooperation. We have to say yes. We hold fast. And then he takes us along. But he provides. He provides the grace, the empowerment, the ability, the power to be able to succeed, if you want to call it that, or to be able to walk out what he's called us to walk out. That makes me feel really well. And I'll tell you that if that's true, John Bevere noted that 98% of Christians don't really believe that. They don't live their life believing that. They might hear it and go, okay, that's nice, but they don't really trust that grace has been released from heaven to enable us to walk in power, to walk within the grace. That is power. Grace is his power released. And he shows up. Isn't that wonderful? And we can look at some verses in a minute, but I would love to be part of that 2%, wouldn't you? More and more. And the only thing that really holds us back and stops us truly is our unbelief. If we don't believe that, then we won't receive the provision from heaven. If we have a doubt, we're just wondering, it's just not working, we tried this before, I'm back in a mess again, I'm going to really try harder this time, you know how it goes, then we fall into that 98% instead of the 2. It'd be great if all of us believed that all over creation, right? Wouldn't that be what Jesus would want? He would say, hey, you're the bride, and you're making yourself ready. It's like you're making yourself ready. In Revelation, it tells us that. That means I'm doing it myself? Well, no. I get to participate with the Lord who provides all that we need, because everything pertaining to life and godliness has already been released. That's part of the finished work of the cross. If we really believe that, we will grow in recognizing and apprehending and saying yes and actually living out the changes that the Lord wants to bring. It's not just making a list, checking it twice, and I'm going to be this and this and this. It's going to be pulling into that union with the Lord. You notice this morning in our beautiful worship, do you notice the progression towards the end? It was beautiful all the way through, but did you notice how the Lord just created new sounds and new songs, new words were erupting? You know, let's sing out, blah, 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 blah. Jesus, you are this, you are this. And the Lord puts notes and lyrics and music together. He puts it all together. It's a new sound from heaven. Isn't that beautiful? But the climate was there. The atmosphere was there. The trust was there. Power was making himself known. Jesus, our powerful God, who is no longer a baby in a manger. So you hear that from the microphone. He's no longer a baby in a manger. And it's like, yes, somebody has to agree with that. Because I'm not singing it out. Or I didn't. But it was sung out and much more. Do you know? So if you think about it, I can't wait to listen to this, because this is how it is with the Lord. He's saying, I've done it all for you. Do you believe? And there are more sounds like that. There is more from heaven that's coming. It's already here. And he's saying, I want you to get this. I want you to apprehend it. I don't know about this Hubble telescope. I was thinking about this the other day. Do you know when that was invented and when the great big, you know, booming telescope came on the scene that really challenged astronomers and challenged scientists to be able to have a bigger, a better glimpse, I guess, of our universe, whatever year that was. I don't know. Somebody would know that and can tell me when that was. But that was a marked change in our scientific world, when the world as we knew it just expanded. But it really hadn't expanded. But to us, it had. And so the Lord wants to release to us an expansion of who he is. Okay? For example, Darlene, I don't know if you're in here, she did not come in necessarily thinking, I'm going to be singing out a new song that even sounds like it was written. Maybe you did. Maybe you prayed for that. I don't know. But that's what happened. Does that make it better than another song? No, but that's what God had to just add to our worship of him, for him. And it was beautiful. You know, the Lord is saying, I'm going to show you more. I'm going to show you who I am in this Christmas season. More and more and more. Whether you are in a place where the presence is really strong or not. Honestly, you can be in the mall. And if you hear some people singing Joy to the World and you are centering on Joy himself, you can encounter the Lord. It's really true. Okay? It's like, hey, the Lord wants us to encounter him wherever we are. I've experienced that myself. It can be in a venue where nice things are happening. It's not necessarily the most anointed in the universe. However, when you carry the anointing of God and you are in love with Jesus, you can worship him anywhere, at any time. Honestly, you think about that. Think about the songs that we sing. Think about what we do even with our kids or out in the parking lot or wherever we're going with our families. We can have holy moments with the Lord, encounters with the Lord, his holiness erupting on the inside of us as we agree with heaven. And that is because we are believing that Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to empower my kids to live for me in such a way all they can preach is me crucified, ha! Which means the finished work of the cross is so inside, captured so strongly in our heart that we can't think of anything else that would supersede that. It's not that we don't think of other things. But instantaneously, we can be communing with the Lord in any situation, anytime, 24/7. Because the Lord says, come up here, come up now. And he says, that's anytime. That's not just when they're leading worship up here. So may that be your portion to increase this worship time, this Christmas time, this Christmas season, even if you're just out in the garage sweeping and it was messy and lights broke or whatever, just begin to sing to the Lord and you will have times with him that you've probably never had before, because this has been a new impartation. Again, maybe you've heard it before, but it's fresh today. It's fresh manna today, which means, boom, it's on all of us, in all of us. It's for us. And he says, run with that, and that's going to make a difference. It's not just something, let me think on that and I'll do this when I see so-and-so. No. It's not like that. This is ongoing relational connection with the baby who's not in a manger anymore. And when you see him in a manger, just rejoice that he humbled himself and came down to be like one of us. Oh my gosh, what was he thinking? He said, I love them. I love my kids. And I will joyfully go to the cross. So I was looking for a picture that I didn't find. I saw it somewhere on Facebook, and I went, oh, I should have kept that. But it was Mary holding the baby Jesus in her arms. And it's like, oh, we love those pictures. And then right next to it, and if you find it and you have it and you've seen it, then just, you know, tell them and they'll put it up. But it's really cool. And then right next to it is Mary holding the destroyed body of Jesus in her arms. Wow. Can't have one without the other, right? So we do celebrate Jesus coming. But for me personally, it's difficult to leave it there. I need to really understand why he came and think about that and think about, whoa, I am crucified with him. Ha, I am buried with him. I am raised with him. Oh, Lord, this is life-changing for me. And I want to understand more. You know why? Because as he reveals what he means by these verses we're going to look at in a minute, right now, the love that he has for us is going to capture places in our hearts that we've not even thought possible. That's where we are. And we pray, oh, Lord, fill me with your love. I want to love supernaturally. Great messages. And that has happened. There has been increase from when we were overseas in Africa, for sure. We already talked about that. We love these messages. And then Pastor Bill preached last week. Really great. The Lord's just saying, more, more, more. More of my love. It's going to wreck you so much you won't even know what to do. Because you're going to carry so much of me, because he is love, love incarnate. Come on. This is the incarnation, Jesus coming. Don't just put on a nice old Steve Green song about incarnation. Connect with the one who is the incarnate Jesus Christ. Connect with the one who is the resurrected Jesus Christ. Take any opportunity with your children or grandchildren. If you have that ability, if you have that freedom, do it. Anytime, be ready. And there will be such an anointing on your words of life. Whether they're ready for it or not, you are, and the Lord will bless it. I guarantee it. Because we are the ones who can impart who we carry to the ones who need that, need to receive him. Yeah? So let's take a look at Galatians 2:20, very familiar passage. And is this a Christmas passage? Absolutely. I love it. I have been crucified with Christ. In him, I have shared his crucifixion. Other versions that we don't have right now, handy and time, say that I am co-crucified with Christ. That means I have divine union. That means we are together. That means there is something that I participate in with Christ, which happened a long time ago, which has been imparted to me. So when I have the opportunity to receive him, this is my portion. Think about this. I have been crucified with Christ. That means the nails in his hands were in mine. That means the nail in his wrist. One nail, two hands. How about that? We were co-crucified with him, co-buried, and co-raised with him. That's who we are. That means something deep. And what I would offer to you, and we're going to go into more of this in 2020, more and more and more, because it really relates to the holiness of God very strongly and his divine love, impartation of love. So what I would encourage you to do is just in your quiet time or not so quiet time, Lord, give me greater revelation of what Galatians 2:20 means to me. Help. And then start just going through the Bible and discovering more. I can give you many statements and points, in which I'll give you some, and we'll build on that. But I guarantee you the love of the Lord in your heart will just be completely biggie-sized, enormously capturing your heart in ways that go beyond whatever your circumstances were this morning, whatever your circumstances might be tonight, way beyond that. This is a new day, new season, new era. The Lord's doing new things, and he's accelerating, he's expediting, he's moving. I'm telling you, I've had visions. I've shared with a few. Some might think I'm a little loony, but I really don't care, because the Lord has given me vision, and he's given me ownership of visions. And those visions will come to pass. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know his timing, but I do know that he's giving me vision to be able to put into operation to build. It's not just having some floaty vision out there and hope someday something happens. But the Lord gives us an anointing to see it come to pass, an anointing for building, an anointing for breakthrough, an anointing to see things actually take shape and manifest so that others can say, yes, I see. Wow, look at the change. Think about that. So if you're a visionary, claim a builder anointing with it. And some people might think your head's in the clouds and that'll never happen and should have happened before or whatever. Don't worry about that. Hold on to that. If it's a vision from the Lord, and the Lord will bring it to pass as you take the steps in his holiness that he outlines. You don't do it yourself, but you cooperate. We cooperate with the plan of God. Just a little side note here. But I've been pondering that for quite some time, actually. I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. Now, this is at salvation, guys. This is whether you believe it or not. This is whether you receive it or not. This is the truth. And the Lord says, if you want to walk this out, you want to walk in the truth, then believe what he's written and say, Lord, that's what your word says. I see myself as you see me. And now I'm going to give you permission. And I'm asking you to invite me, which you already have through the word, into the cooperation of the manifestation of this in my life. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith. Now, what is faith? It's identified here in the Amplified. Faith is by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in. You may want to jot that down if you don't have an Amplified at home. By adherence to. I live by faith, which means I live by adherence to, reliance on, complete trust in. Who? The Son of God. That means who he says he is, I believe it. So I need to explore. I need to know. I can't just hope I get this. I have to become what you're saying inside. Because if Christ lives in me, then the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead took up residence in me. That means that I am going to be able to, I will have the empowerment to rely, adhere, and completely trust in the Son of God. This is remarkable. Can you imagine if you started telling children about this? Can you imagine their little hearts who don't have what we've carried, some of us, maybe all of us, what they can receive? They're so pure, but still have the same sinful nature that we all have when we're born, right? They still have that. So you have to work with the Lord on how to corral them in a good way to get to the point of hearing this with, so that the tormentor doesn't have his way. And the tormentor will have its way or his way if we aren't smarter than the tormentor and wiser. So we have to know how to shut down the tormentor so that we can impart. And sometimes we work against ourselves and we don't even realize it in trying to get these things across. And the tormentor has baffled and blinded people and kept them in torment. Stop the torment. Know how to do that. If you know how to do that, you can continue here. It's much more effective. Just saying. Who loved me and gave himself up for me. I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adherence to, reliance on, and complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We start with this. Let's go to Romans 6, verses 5 and 6. You know what? Back up. I'm wrong. Sorry. I think I asked for the message. Did you have that up there already? Oh, goody. Okay. What actually took place is this. This is Galatians 2:20 in the message. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. Don't you love that? I mean, is that like the truth? Remember a gift of Christmas? I said, if some of you have tried this out there before, come on up here. We got a bunch of people running up because it didn't work, right? Let's try to do things in our own strength. Anytime we try to do something in our own strength, it doesn't work. Period. We mess up. That's the point. The Lord's going to get us to a place of going, aha, or duh, aha, duh, what? Wow, I get it. We start to receive revelation, and then it grows, and it gets stronger. So what actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a law man or woman so that I could be God's man or woman. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. Can you look at that again? And enabled me to do it. It's not just, okay, guys, I'm going to get my eyes on Jesus. Okay, this is what you did. So it's okay. He enabled me. So there's an enabling. It's a good enabling, okay? This is the power of God, the love of God, the Spirit of God, the enabler at work in a powerful way, the enablement of God. I just love this, how it's worded. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. Ouch. You big ouch. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it's lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that. Is that powerful? It's really strong. You know, and it's not a rebellion to, so I don't care what anybody thinks. You know, it's not like that. It's, I'm going to let the Lord have his way and do in me by his power what he wants to do in me. And they're going to see Jesus, and that's going to be the bigger blessing. They're going to see the real Jesus. They're going to see the real change through the empowerment of the Spirit of God. This kills religion. I mean, this is like the religious antidote, or the antidote to a religious arrow. It really is. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. You can read Killing Kryptonite or read the Bible with that, or just go to the Lord and say, what did you mean by that? Think about it. But this is really great because of the identity. God is saying the identity of Jesus Christ becoming our own identity and what that really looks like. When we live that way, it's easy for us to receive correction from the Lord. It's easy for us, honestly, to read the Bible and take the hard verses or what we think are hard verses and go, oh, okay, so you mean something there, something really good. Ah, okay. You know why? Because we're going to see the merciful one. Whenever he's telling us, move this way, move that way, submit, respond, or whatever he would do, whatever he would say, he would give us the ability, but he would also show us his mercy. Think about that. Our merciful Jesus died on the cross for us. We're buried with him and raised with him. We're right there with our sin, our sinful nature, our choices, the old man, the old way, the old self, okay? Whatever you want to call it, Scripture calls it, all those things, that no longer lives because that's why Jesus went to the cross. And when we get to the place of saying, oh, that's why he died, instead of only, well, he died so I wouldn't have to have the penalty for all the sin that I carried. Yes, very true. But he also, in that death and burial and resurrection, which means it's completely gone, it's underneath everything, it's underneath the ground, it's underneath any attempt to bring it up and throw it in your face, it's gone. Any sin, any power of sin is removed. It's like, whoa. The tyranny of sin, okay, the master over our lives, if we don't get free. There's a punishment for that. And we get saved from that. Praise the Lord, and we get to live in heaven together. But along with that, we also get to identify with him. This is so great. If we capture this teaching in our soul, we really capture it, we will be able to say before the Lord, Lord, I'm understanding that I am holy before you. And I'm so excited of how you're using my life, whatever you want to do, to enable me to live out holiness before you. I can do it through you, by your spirit. It's from you. This is amazing. Okay, let's just keep going. It is not clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? Is it not clear? It's a question. Let me read it again. Is it not clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that, to repudiate God's grace. Ooh. To resist, to destroy, to come against, to ignore, to refuse God's grace. I refuse that. I will not mock God's grace. I will embrace God's grace. I will understand God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. Think about that. What does that have to do with Christmas? Everything. We can't be singing Jesus isn't a baby anymore in a manger and really care about that if we don't understand what happened once he came down and why he came down to humble himself, to take on the persona of a human being in the manger for us. What that means and what was going to happen as a result of his humility going to the cross for us. What kind of love did that release in us? And what manner of holiness that we've talked about that we would like to carry in our lives really would be pleasing to the Lord? It's humbling. It's very humbling. Let's take a look at Romans now. Just say, Lord, what does this have to do with Christmas? This is really good, isn't it? For if we have become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection. So we're sharing his death? Really? What's that mean? Why is that in there? One with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. You see, when we died to ourselves, that happened at the cross. That happened when we were born again. That is the place that we live. The Lord says, stay there. That's what I did for you. And believe that the empowerment is there for everything. And you will be able to live an abundant life. Oh my gosh. Is it that so gracious? Is that the greatest gift of all in this world? In addition to living with him in eternity because of the privilege of carrying him and releasing his love, releasing him to everybody. When we were at Skyline Terrace yesterday, and some of you might be from Skyline, many of us, hopefully, I believe all, would approach every person with, Jesus, do they know you? Did they know this love? Do they know how amazing you think they are, and what you want to do in their life, and what you've already done for them. They just need to say yes. That's the truth. And then that capturing in our hearts is carried wherever we go. We can go in any situation. We can go into anything that's a little bit awkward, a little bit maybe tense or whatever, and walk in, honestly, just seeing every person through the eyes of Jesus. And so if somebody runs away, okay, you don't take offense. Ask God for another opportunity to show them love. You grow in how to do that. You may have a proper assessment. They don't want to be around me. Great. Don't stay away. That's where the Lord says, I want to mature you. I'm going to show you how Jesus does it. And Jesus will provide a way. It's true. That's maturing in the love of Christ, in the releasing of the love of Christ. We know that our old, unrenewed self, our old self, before Jesus, before saying yes to the Lord, okay, was nailed to the cross with him. See yourself right now as I'm reading this. See yourself. See your life. We actually had our African brothers and sisters come up as we're demonstrating this in Kingdom Bible School in November, coming up and nailing their sin, themselves, to the cross as we were demonstrating that. And then they were able to replicate that without us showing them how. We just spoke the scriptures, and that's what they could do. We know that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, our body is the instrument of sin, Bible says it clearly, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be the slaves of sin. Now let me read that verse 6 again. So 5 and 6 together, very, very important. One builds on the other. So I'm going to do this again because it's pretty deep. So let's look at it again. 5, for if we have become one with him, yes, by sharing a death like his, yes, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. Now, before I go on to the next verse, what would please the Lord more than anything? Wouldn't it be, if he's a giver, wouldn't he want to give and reward us for living a life that would be a life of love? Would that just be his heart? Because he's a giver, he just always wants to give, right? Okay, now, how many of you know the verse in Hebrews 11:6 that says, without faith, what's the next step? It's impossible to please God without faith. Okay, so I am releasing these words of life, words of faith, the truth of the scripture. So listen to this. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, but we must know who he is. In other words, we need to know him. We need to agree with him. We need to have an understanding of him, a revelation of him. Because that's true faith. When we agree, when we trust in our God, we don't resist him. Which is what we just read in the other verses. And then he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's rewarding, which gives him the greatest pleasure. He wants to reward us. So he wants us to live a resurrection life. He wants us. So sometimes we get hung up with, you just got to die to yourself. You got to die to yourself. You got to die to yourself. You got to die to yourself. We died to ourselves at the cross. He provided that. He said, live the resurrection life, which will substantiate the fact that we have become one with him by sharing a death of ours on the cross with him. We shall be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for him. And that gives him joy. That gives him pleasure. Pleasure. You know, we don't even want to keep on sinning. We don't, because we're so filled with this awe of who he is. If something comes our way, it's like, no, no. If we can't resist, we do not have a revelation of the cross, because he gives us the ability to resist. It's the grace he gives us. So it's understanding him. This is all about him. He's not just the reason for the season to put on a card. This is about him. And then he makes all these things possible for us. Okay, now look at 6. We know that our old self, so before salvation, our unrenewed self, was nailed to the cross with him in order that this body, which is the instrument of sin, would be made, listen to these words, ineffective, inactive, ineffective, inactive, can't move.
So we aren't just walking around rebuking demons and principalities and rulers and powers of wickedness in high places, that understanding who we really are, what Jesus has done, and then we own it. And we will become like him and humble ourselves. And if that dead old man or woman starts rising, I'd be like, oh no, forgive me, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I hurt you. I would never risk our relationship of love. What was I thinking? See? We all, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be the slave of sin. Okay, let's do it in the, let's, did I do the message yet? Romans 5? Can you put 5 up there? Okay, all right. So what do we do? I'll go ahead and read it. Romans 6, 1 through 6. So what do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. When I was reading this recently, I was thinking of Stephanie being baptized in the ocean this summer. I was thinking of that stuff and just had this picture. We had others we baptized too, but I just there was this moment. I just saw you in my vision, my mind's eye, and I thought, that's what happened to you. And there was something that switched with you, and it's not changed. That's what the Lord has done, and that was a very important step for you. And the Lord's taking you deeper and deeper, and that's what he wants us to do, and that's where he wants us to go, deeper in our understanding of the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus for each one of us. It will change the way we do kingdom. It really will. It will. It's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see we're going in a new grace sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Jesus, with Christ. A decisive end to that sin, miserable life, no longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, let me say that again. What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of the death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue. And you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. I can just encourage you. I don't have that printed off. And some of you maybe don't have the Message Bible. But that's just so beautiful. And if we concentrate and think about these things, sit under the Christmas tree, think about who Jesus is, what he's done, what this means. Ask him for deeper revelation. Ask him for understanding. Ask him for clarification. Ask him to make things known to you. Show him. You're going to have these aha or da moments, and they're going to be between now and even Christmas. I really, really believe it. I want to read something to you, a couple more things, and then we'll wrap it up because of the time. Oh, my goodness. I have so many wonderful things the Lord has spoken to me, but they'll be for another time. But let me just read a couple of fun things that I did write down, if I can find those. I wrote down some definitions I wanted to give to you. Well, I'll see where they are here. If we look in Ephesians chapter 3, I read actually verses 14 through 21 at the end of worship today. And I was speaking about that God would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. Jesus, show me, as I'm sitting under the Christmas tree, sitting in front of the fireplace, walking through the mall, show me, Lord, because you're dwelling in my heart with all of these beautiful verses that you've given me. Show me. I want to comprehend. I want to understand with all the saints, with everyone, what is the breadth, length, height, and depth of your love, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that's working within us, the power that's working. So the power is there, but it needs to be working. If we're in agreement with heaven, the power will be released. The power will be working if we have this understanding. To him be the glory in the church, Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. I wanted to say to you, just give you a couple verses here to add to this at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 3. So if you can go to put up Ephesians chapter 3 if you could, Angela, that would be great. Let's see if I can find this definition here that I thought I wrote down in here. Here it is. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 2, it says, if indeed you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me. Okay, so this is Paul talking, and he says, if you've heard about this, if you've heard about what stewardship he's given me of his grace. In my Bible, the whole section is entitled Paul's Stewardship. Now, we're not going to talk about a lot of different ways of being a good steward, but I am going to give you, definition-wise, this is what the word stewardship means. So when you're reading this in the scripture, those of you like the Word of God and want to study it and want to understand why we're supposed to understand the height and the breadth and the length and the depth of God's love, listen to this. Stewardship means the conducting or the supervising or the managing of something. Careful and responsible management, especially something that's entrusted into one's care. It's the way in which a person controls or organizes. Now, this is a good control. This is the self-control of the Holy Spirit leading Paul to be able to steward well, manage well what God's given. And what has he given him? The revelation of what I've been reading you, and he's giving it out to the Gentiles, and he's giving it out to all of us, and he has to be responsible for this revelation, because he's a good steward put in a management position, so to speak, of what God has given to him. The Lord, when he reveals, let's say for the three who preached here when we were in Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire, Cynthia and Troy and Lawrence, you received revelation when you were preaching, before you were preaching, to be able to step up and do that. If not, you're just speaking a bunch of words. So you have revelation that you're releasing, which I believe you did have and still have, but you now are called to properly steward what the Lord has released to you. And that's the same for all of us. That's why the Word of God is so powerful and strong. The Lord's saying, I have released grace over your life, the empowerment to be able to walk out and go to the next place in the Spirit, the next place in love. the next place for Darlene as she's singing out, or any of us, but today it was Darlene as the main worship leader and everybody helping and supporting. But what revelation God gave you that came up, out, through, now the Lord's saying, I am calling you into a level of stewardship for the revelation, because it's going to increase you in your personal walk of holiness. That's what he has for every one of us. This is not just, well, you have to do something holding a microphone. That's not what I'm talking about. Just using examples of people who did hold a microphone. Okay? So the revelation God is giving to us is it's weighty. So for Paul, that's the point here. He says in verse 1, which I did not read, he says, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, God's empowerment, remember, God's grace, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, verse 4. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. 5, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Is it an emergency? Thank you. We'll call Brazil back. She probably thinks we're finished. Revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. So Paul is identifying what credibility he has to be able to speak these words, that this is from the Lord God himself. So if he's writing these words down, it's through revelation from the Spirit of God. And now he is so responsible to be able to carry this message and then walk out the holiness of the Lord through the empowerment that he understands has been released to him and to us. Verse 6, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So he's telling us, now you guys get it. You get the gospel. It's not just for the Jews. In which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, empowerment, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Very powerful verse right there. Powerful verse about power. Grace is God's power, the working of God's power. Verse 8, for me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Unfathomable? Really? Paul is saying that? Do we approach Christ, Jesus, face to face, in the Word, the study of the Word, thinking the unfathomable riches of Christ are being released to me? Verse 9. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. So now this mystery is being revealed to the Gentiles, to all of us. Now, verse 10. Now, this is where the holiness of God is coming in. So hang with me here. We're going to... These next few verses are really important for stepping into and recognizing the enemy. Okay? Recognizing the enemy, which comes through recognizing Jesus. So, verse 10. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities and the heavenly places. I'll read it again and listen to this, because this is our job. This is our role. We are warriors. We're called to be overcomers. We're called in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 with the seven churches in Revelation. We're called to overcome all the way through life to the end. And we cannot do that without the grace, the empowerment of the Lord. But if we understand our identity and we understand Christ and we really walk in that understanding, in that revelation knowledge, oh, what will happen in our lives? What will happen tonight? What will happen when you encounter the Lord now? Will be phenomenal. It will be unfathomable to you and to me. It's huge. So verse 10, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church, that's us, to the rulers, to the authorities in the heavenly places. That means to every demonic host, principality, demon power. We'll get to the point of recognizing when something is not of the Spirit of God, and we will say, no, that's not true. No, that's not Jesus. No, I will not receive. No, I will not listen. No, I will not participate. My yes is yes, my no is no. See, he gives us that. He's giving us that because Jesus paid that price. And this is our role. We make this manifold wisdom of God available. Verse 11, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose, which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Think about that. Boldness, confident access through faith in him. This is for us today in this Christmas season. This is for us. This is different. We will know what to say and do. And it might be different than how we would have handled something last week or even yesterday or last year, because we're growing in this kind of revelation, understanding and receiving the depth of this kind of love, why Jesus died. What does it mean to be co-crucified, co-buried, co-raised? How does this come together? This might feel a little murky to you, but I guarantee you it's going to start to settle. You will have ahas. And then wrapping it up, verse 13, therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. Meaning, Paul was entrusted with great revelation for those he was going to impart to, which is all of us, particularly the church of Ephesus with this message, right? But he suffered, but many other churches, all of us for the future. But he was given this, and he was this great apostle, and that at that time, the time of the Bible being written, the time of Jesus being proclaimed. But now he's not even here, and we are, and we carry and walk in this revelation knowledge and this revelation power. This is not some small thing. This is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it looks like something. Don't explain away what you don't understand. Do not, because the Lord knows what he's doing. But he's saying, will you believe my word? Will you believe my word? Verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. And then I read the rest. This is how love, knowing and receiving the love of God, will increase our understanding and ability to be able to walk in the victory over the enemy that Jesus has already paid a big price for, and the enablement is there. And you, as stewards of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, carry that very power within. And that can change who you're around. Don't be afraid. Don't walk on eggshells. Walk in the Spirit. Don't walk in religion. Walk in the Spirit. Go through these scriptures so that we're not bashing, but we're releasing power that bashes. And we're going to see more victories in our families, more victories in our personal lives and finances and everything else. We're not going into a message on good stewardship or anything like that right now. So 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3, God's grace is divine power that gives us the ability to live godly, holy lives. And that verse, as we know, is that everything has been given to us. Everything. If everything's been given to us, life and godliness. That's life and holiness. It's been given to us already. That changes how we do today. That changes how we view what we're able to do or not do. It really does. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power, his grace, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, just another word for holiness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Thank you, Jesus. I remember not knowing all of this when I first got saved so many years ago, but honestly, the words I actually said in my heart, "So that's why he died," I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have all of the support that I do now in the Word, which has increased me over the years. But that's what we need to receive. So that's why you died. So that you could raise. That's why you died. So that you could raise. Let's just pray. Lord, what a morning. What a morning, King Jesus. Your word is so powerful. Your word is so strong. Your word is so true. Your word is a mighty, powerful force. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Thank you, Lord, for the clarity in your word. As we go through this beautiful treasure map of love, seeing what you have done, we're in awe of what you have done in our sinful state because of love. And what we can do with that, what you've provided to live a holy, righteous life, to emulate you, to become like you, to carry you, to release you so others will see you, so they will want to know you, so they will come into your family, so we will not be thinking about us, we'll be thinking about you, God. Take these scriptures, God, and just permeate our being in those places, God. We would live out what you've said. Live out love. This is supernatural living. Where it's not about us at all. It's about you. It is about you. It is really about you. Father, I thank you for a fresh new stirring. To be in the Word, to study the Word, to love the Word, to eat the Word, to enjoy the Word, to worship through the Word, to love your Word, God, to have proper understanding of your Word, great revelation, God, through your Word. Thank you, Lord, in this season as we sing out, O Holy Night, we sing out Away in a Manger. We sing out Joy to the World. We sing out, Oh, Come, All Ye Faithful God. We sing all these beautiful songs of worship out that we're thinking about you and thinking about you crucified, us being crucified with you, God, what that means, and buried with you, what that means, and raised to new life, what that means. May we be stewards, good stewards, of who you've released inside of us. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord. If this has touched your heart today, just really believe the Lord wants to continue to release the power of his word over you, but he's inviting a response. if you want to respond to him in agreement with what's been said, just offer yourself to him right now. Just tell him. Just tell him. We cannot set the captives free effectively without this deep, deep revelation of love and power. We will set captives free more effectively. Thank you, Lord. Father, your fire is here. And your fire is an inferno on the inside of us, those who know you, those who've said yes to you, those who've said, I invite your blood sacrifice for my life. I invite your holy sacrifice for me to saturate me. I invite that to cover me. I invite you to remove all the power of sin and darkness and death and all the tyranny of the one that I was hooked to, Satan himself. God, we just release ourselves to you. If that's you, just release yourself and refuse any more darkness. You cannot live with a foot in both ponds. It doesn't work. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus, we invite you to be who you are, King of kings and Lord of lords, in our hearts, in our lives, in every way. We will not tolerate sin and darkness that you took on the cross for us. Because if we belong to you, then we really have been co-crucified and co-buried and co-raised. If not, we don't belong to you yet. And Lord, let no one kid themselves in here. Father, we're asking for clarity of your beautiful, beautiful love sacrifice for us so that we will walk in the fullness of your love. Thank you for that. Father, we just offer ourselves to you fresh and new today to walk in that resurrection power and life. We release to you any fear or any divination or any unholiness at all from our lives. We give it to you and we repent. We turn away, God, and we will saturate ourselves in your word so that your word will release life over us in greater ways and measures. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the honor. Thank you for your glory being released today. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We bless you today, Lord. We bless you. We bless your holy name, God. Bless you during this Christmas time. God, may we be used to lead many into freedom. Many who will come into your family. Many who will be set free. May we be used, God, that way because of your love. Thank you, Father, that the only rebellion that we will tolerate, that we will permit, is rebellion against the enemy. We rebel against any darkness coming against us. We rebel. We say, no, we belong to you, Jesus. We rebel against any darkness coming against our loved ones. We rebel. We say, no, no to the darkness coming against them. That's the rebellion, God, that pleases you. No other rebellion, God. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Father, to chew on these beautiful scriptures this week, our Christmas, as our Christmas joy. And Lord, we will encounter you more and more through this new revelation and release of love. Let it be in Jesus' name. Let it be. Let it be. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. It's a lot of word today, but we're in a powerful season, and the Lord is teaching us and training us, so be encouraged.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org. or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.